And I think we're going to have some special people.
Yeah, my wife's going to come up, and she always ministers in song when I teach, when she's here anyway.
Good morning. I was going to do a different song. But now I'm switched up.
Just a second. Can you give me the air conditioner thing out of here?
Okay, let me see if I can find it. Because I heard that a couple of people had prayer requests today, and on my heart, I want to pray this song, sing this song. If I can find it, and that's the truth. So this song goes out to my friend Tammy, and my friend Johanna and their family members that are going to be He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. More than able to do much more than I could ever dream. He's able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, what do we got till 12? Is it 12?
Yeah.
That's all. Just want to make sure. Aren't you glad God's able?
Yeah.
And not only that, he's faithful. I love that song. Faithful. God's faithful even when we're not. You know? He allows us to make choices. Sometimes, my message is actually a two-parter, and I found out it was a Sunday school message, and my sister over there, she says, "Oh, I want to hear that second part." And I said, "Well, you just told me what I'm going to preach about." You know, God uses people. So if you missed the first one, it's no big thing, and it didn't take on the recorder. But the idea was, in the believer, we have two natures. When you got saved, you got a new nature, your new creation in Christ. But the other nature didn't go away. It's still there, and there's a struggle. But what's wonderful is the cross. The blood of Christ forgave us, and the cross broke that power of sin. We don't have to give in to it. It's there. It's a daily struggle, minute by minute, you know. And some believers, see, when I was a young believer, I didn't understand the two natures. And I thought, how could I think like that? How could I act like that? Am I really a Christian? You know, what's God thinking about me, you know? And so it was such a relief. Greg Macy, actually, I read a book on the two natures, and it was such a relief. I'll give you an example of it. One of the stories in the book, a man was a great father, great man in the church, you know, elder, I believe. A perfect example. Well, nobody's perfect, but you know what I'm saying. Somebody you really had respect for. Well, he got older, and he got sick, and just before he died, he started blurting out, the nastiest things came out of his mouth, and it just freaked his daughter out. She's like, was he ever really a Christian? and I believe it was Greg Macy, shared with her about the new nature, where his mind wasn't there now to sort of control, so it just waits. You know, it stands to crouch out, you know. But thank God he's equipped us. And, you know, sometimes it's 3 steps forward, you know, 2 back, and we all struggle, you know. That's why we shouldn't be judgmental towards each other. You know, we should be prayerful and caring about each other. So that was the idea to show we have two natures. You know, there's teaching out there that says, you know, you can come to the point of getting sanctified where you don't have a sin nature. Well, I don't see Paul teaching that, right? What I want to do, I don't. Romans 7, I don't want to do, I do. You know, that he had that struggle. But I think it says, what I call holy habits. You know, you start applying things like prayer. You start praying, you know, all of a sudden you start doing it more. You know, like the pastor says, what was it? Starve the fever, feed the cold. You feed the new nature. And what's spiritual food? That manna from heaven, the Word of God, right? So you're studying on your own. You better rightly divide, or you won't know how the Holy Spirit works. You won't know how to have the victory over the flesh. So we rightly divide it, and then you get together with the other believers, and you get under good, sound grace teaching, because it stirs up and animates in you the doctrine you've taken in, and it's prayer and. You don't have to do anything to be carnal, you know that? Just quit studying your Bible. Stop spending time with God with prayer. Don't go around any believers, because they might, you know, love you enough to share something with you. And you'll look like you're unsaved. A tree that looks dead, but it's spiritually alive. It's just functional death. So this one is our responsibilities to the old nature. You know, all of a sudden you think, oh, now we're going to get personal, right? But you know what? When you look in Paul's epistles, how I would define it, our responsibility is our response to God's ability. See, it's God who works in you. Does he say, produce the fruit of the Spirit? We can't. But you'll get teaching like that. We need to love more. You need to give more, right? That's a real big one. Yeah. Up them ties, right? You need to do this, you need to do that, right? And it's telling the flesh to perform. That's religion. It loves it. But our response, ability, is our response to God's ability. It's him that produces things in us. But we got to do things his way. You can't be like Cain, try and come your own way. That's the one of the first forms of religion. So, point one I want to make, this responsibility is apart from rules, regulations, and commandments of men. What would that be? Traditions, right? Religion, actually. And principles of this world. So, let's think of some of them things that would. How about extra-biblical revelation? You know, somebody said, oh, I got a revelation from God. A lot of false teaching comes out of that stuff, right? How about psychobabble? Man's way to help fallen man. Man's way to help people who struggle, right? And it's come so much into the church, because a lot of times pastors don't know this word or have confidence in this word and don't know how to counsel people when they do go through things. So that is not... Go to Colossians 2, 18-23. And Paul writes... Paul has a lot of these type of warnings in there. And they're there for a reason, right? They're warning you to beware. Let no man beguile you. You know what that means? Rob, cheat, defraud of your reward. In a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, and intruding into those things which he has not seen. So the idea here, I believe, it's like a revelation knowledge. I'm getting messages. You know, whether it be directly from God, through angels. You know, Joseph Smith came out with that, right? The angel Moroni appeared to him and gave him these tablets, you know, it's Mormonism. There used to be a Word and Faith teacher, I don't know if he's around anymore. He used to preach, he said, with the 15-foot, I think, angel next to him. While he's preaching, he'd go, come on. I'm right in the middle of the... You think, cuckoo, but people, you know, they'll fall for anything if you say you're anointed and you're a prophet. So this is not where we want to go to for help, or to run up, walk the aisles and somebody lays their hand on your head and you fall over and, oh, instant sanctification. You know, because when you leave there, or, you know, whatever it might be, what's going on, you know, when you leave there and go and face the things in your life during the week, that ain't going to help you. It's the Word of God rightly divided and rightly applied to the situations. This is where God comforts us. He encourages us, convicts us, challenges us. Not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment increases, King James is a rough one, with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ, and that idea is, you are dead with Christ, right? This doesn't mean like, well, maybe, because what Romans 6 say? You died with Christ. You were buried. You rose with Christ. This is like the idea of sense. So if for sense you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, and that idea is, because the context, it's like bringing a lion, trying through the law to live, if you want, sanctified, holy. Why, as though living in the world, you are subject to ordinances. What the law have? Ordinances, commands, right? And then how about fasting? When people say, you know, to really grow, it's a lot of big movement in the church, you know. Our church is going to fast for 30 days or whatever. You know, instead of thinking about God, I'll be thinking about Big Macs and pork chops. And, you know. I mean, if you think you want to fast, I'm not telling you don't do it. But I don't see Paul instructing us to fast. And like if we fast, that idea is what? You're going to move the hand of God, right? Like he's reluctant to do what his will is, right? See where it says, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after what? The commandments and doctrines of men. See, it's built on men, tradition. And some traditions go back 2,000 years. And I always, because people go, my church been around 2,000 years. They've been teaching this since, you know, some of the Baptists say, see, our church goes back to John the Baptist, you know. But I always think, because does time, just like evolution, they got to add billions of years, does that make it true? Because you got billions? No. If a lie is a lie, and Satan starts some, it don't become true. I don't care if it's around 500,000 years, you know. And Satan is a great counterfeiter. Don't ever forget that. You better know this word. I better know this word. Because Satan comes so close to the truth. Like justification. God says you're justified by what? His blood. By Christ. Through his resurrection, right? It's because we're justified unto eternal life. Now, what does Satan add? Yeah, what will churches teach? I've taught this before, I mentioned it, but I think it's an important thing. Satan don't care if you believe Christ died, was buried, and rose. You can know that. A lot of denominations teach that. But they don't teach that's all you need for salvation. See, they add something. Walk an aisle. Ask Jesus in your heart. You got to get baptized. Oh, not for salvation. It's your first witness. You know, speak in tongues. You know, it's Christ plus plan. You know, it's not Christ plus anything. It's faith alone, by grace alone, through Christ alone. That's what it is. And we got to have that clear. Or Satan's very subtle. He'll use the Bible, because if you don't rightly divide it, there's verses in here to go speaking in tongues, isn't there? To go get water baptized. To pay tithes. Go to Malachi. The last book written before the 400 years of silence to the Jew. But that's why you're rightly divided, and Satan doesn't like that. Because right division teaches you about what? Does it just teach you that we don't have to pay tithes anymore, but to give? Yeah. It teaches you the mystery. And what is the mystery about? Christ, according to the mystery, Paul preached, not according to prophecy. So Satan's very subtle. You know how many churches today are teaching out of, and there's nothing wrong with that if you're teaching in the context, Matthew, Mark. I mean, the pastor's teaching through John, right? But they're teaching that it's like commands for today. You know, so we rightly divide it. Because if not, verse 23, which things have indeed a show of wisdom. See, Satan's what? He comes as transforms himself into an angel of light, right? And what do his messengers do? Should it surprise us that they're preaching an almost gospel? Which things indeed have a show of wisdom and worship and humility and neglected a body. See, that could be fasting, right? And neglecting your body. Not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. You know the idea there? In my New King James, it says, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. These things will not stop your sin nature. You know what they do? Religious things, they feed the sin nature. Because there's two sides to the sin nature. The lascivious side, and the world will feel that. Just watch some TV or sometime listen to certain types of music, you know. Not that them things are all bad in themselves, but it's what or the internet. You know, there's some great things on there. I post in there, I share the gospel. There's some bad things, you know. But these things will not control your flesh. We got to find out what is God's remedy, right? What are God's instructions in today's dispensation of grace? Because now you go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Christ gave what? His apostles power to cast out demons, right? Heal sickness, disease. He gave them. So what do they say today? The guy who started the Vineyard Movement, John Wimber, I think he used to be a manager for the Beatles, actually. He actually said that was God's music he was bringing. Okay. But he said if Jesus was doing it then and he's the same today, you know, forever, yesterday, today, and forever, then we should still be doing it. And I don't say this rudely at him. He died of cancer. Why didn't he heal himself? Because it ain't going on. We're not guaranteed, nobody's got the gift of healing. We can pray to God for healing, but we're not guaranteed. At the rapture, we are. And we should pray to God for everything. And to me, I pray, God, your will be done. I don't, I hear people, one guy I really like on the internet, Grace Teacher, and he was sort of being a little bit laughing about people with prayer chains, you know. And I've heard that before. You know, doesn't God hear your prayers? Of course He does. We don't even need anyone else too, because you go, we have access to God. But doesn't Paul ask for prayers? Right? I cover your prayers. Pray for me. You know? I pray for you every day. I pray for this church. I pray for our pastor. I pray for Dave and their marriages and everything. And I try and remember Myrtle, because she's with the Sunday school, you know. Need to pray for each other. So, our first responsibility is to accept and believe what God says about our own nature. God not only reveals to us in His Word about the flesh, but He also gives us the needed instructions on how to deal with it. Go to 2 Timothy 3:16. And 17. So, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, the idea of teaching. And doctrine is not just only a teaching. That's doctrine is some taught as a body of principles, like the doctrine of justification. You're going all through Paul's epistles and then you'll go through the whole Word of God and comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And then you come up with the doctrine or salvation. or it might be end times, you know, whatever. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and that idea is conviction. Oh no, for correction. I don't like that. Okay. Thank God for his correction. For instruction in righteousness. Why does he give us the word? That the man of God might be perfect. That means mature, complete, thoroughly furnished on all good works. Oh, but, you know, we need psychology. The word of God ain't enough, right? We need to send them to the professionals. So God gives, we got to go to God's Word, find a doctrine. Build up that edifice in our own souls of doctrine. So when we do face things, we got some, the Holy Spirit got something to work with. You know? Now go to, so all Scripture is profitable, right? But if you don't rightly divide it, it's not going to be profitable. You know, it's going to be confusing to you. I'll give you one example, we probably all have heard it, but it's good to compare things. Jesus said on the law, he said one thing, he only went to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he was sent, right? He never went to the Gentiles. And what did he say about forgiveness on the law? If you forgive others, your Father in heaven will forgive you. But if you don't, he won't. Right? That's on the law. Paul tells us what? You have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, right? There's a big difference of getting it and you got it, right? And people, believers, are all over the world. You know, I get a lot on Facebook. I'm sharing, probably people get sick of it, you know. But I'm sharing, I want to share complete forgiveness. You know how many people are saying, make sure you get yourself right with God. These are believers. Oh, I'm so thankful I can ask forgiveness and get, you know. So, you know, it's that working for justification to make yourself cleansed and justified before God. So we need to rightly divide the word. And this is what did God tell us? How to study the Bible, that it will be profitable. Study, so what's the first thing they need to do? To study, what do you got to do? Get out the Word, right? And not just read it, study it. Think it through, ask some questions. Who's saying it? Or who's writing it? Who are they writing to? What are they saying? Why are they saying it? See, at what time? What does the Word mean? That's why I like going to the Greek. It gives you a, sometimes makes things a lot more clear. So study to show thyself approved unto God. So there's a way that has God's approval, right? Ain't that nice to know? That you can do something God approves of? A workman. Oh, here we go, working again. The Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak, right? Jesus said. That needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So there's a way that you study the Bible that you should be ashamed when you don't rightly divide it. And that's most of the church today. But you know, we can't do anything about what everybody does. We can share. And a couple times or when you have an opportunity. But if people reject it, and then they're going to name you hype, you know. Easy believism, greasy grace. They make up all these words to make you feel ugly and you feel ashamed. You know, we're like Paul talked about the outscouring, right? To some, we're fragrance. Because some people want to know truth. To other ones, we stink, man. They see you coming, oh, I'm going this way, you know. Especially a young believer that's, you know, really on fire. And I love seeing somebody like that. And then what happens? Church gets a hold of you. Or especially you go to a legalistic church, you know. Like Jordan used to say, win them, that he was taught in Bible college. Win them, wet them, and whip them. Whip them into shape. So we need to rightly divide the word. Then go to Romans 6:11. You know what growth is? If you take the whole idea in the context of this chapter, growth is knowing something, verse 6 and 8. Then, so you got to study, you got to rightly divide the word, you should be meditating on it, thinking about it. Then you got to reckon it so. That means count it so. It's a mathematical term. You calculate. Think about what God did. You're thinking about it. Calculate. Remember I did the what does God think about thinking a while back? It's on the doctrine of thinking. So we got to know something, and then you reckon it. God said you die with Christ. When you get tempted, that old nature comes with them thoughts. No, I'm dead to that. I'm a new creation. And when you get in this Word, it sheds light. Where are the thoughts coming from? The Holy Spirit? You're new in your new nature? Is it your new nature? Or is that that old nature? And this sheds light. So I know that's not me anymore. That's the sin nature, and there's where Satan works through the sin nature. Kirkwood, my old pastor, said, if you ain't got a problem with your flesh, you know how to deal with it according to the grace of God, through Romans, the mechanics of the Christian life, Romans 6. He said, you won't have a problem with Satan, because he can only work through our flesh. So here, what I say, 11, verse 11. Likewise, reckon, again, that's accounting. It's counting as true. It's what God said. We know it's true, right? Not by your feelings. Ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So again, when you get them thoughts, and they'll come all through the day, that's why it's a battle. We take what? Every thought captive. Arguments and high things that exalt ourselves against the knowledge of God. Take them thoughts. When we start pitying ourselves, right? I wish I had this, and I wish I had a better job, and you know, wish my wife was more submissive. Wish my husband bring me more flowers. You know, it's like, take them thoughts captive. That's not coming from a thankful heart, from your... from your new nature, right? Self-pity? That's feeling like, I think it's actually self-love. You know, people say, God, love yourself more. No, you don't. Jesus said, love others as you love yourself. You love yourself so much. When somebody's ugly, you say, well, they got a bad self-image. No, they don't. They're mad. They don't like themselves. Why? Because they think they should be beautiful. Because they love themselves that much. We need to love God. Love others. And I think you should like yourself. But loving myself, you know, that's narcissistic. People love themselves so much, they'll break in your house and take what you got. So we have to what? When, because where does sin come from? It comes within, right? James says, you want to know where wars come from? You ever wonder about that? James gives us some insight. That's why we do study the whole Word. Just, but you better have it rightly divided, or you'll be in James thinking you got to do works to stay justified. He's not writing to the body of Christ. Paul writes to the body of Christ. He's writing in a whole other program. But we can learn some things, right? Didn't Jesus say in the Gospels that if you who are evil give good gifts to your children, evil people can do good things? Because people think if I'm doing good things, then I'm good. Right? Makes sense to the flesh. And the flesh just loves religion. Religion feeds it. Because look at it. Look at me. You realize how religious I am? I'm so spiritual. Or you get them people say, oh, I'm not religion. Well, I'm glad you're not. But I am spiritual. Oh, really? So do you trust in Christ? Oh, no. I believe in everything. You're so narrow-minded. I'm like, hey, I'm open-minded, but not where my brain falls. It's going to fall out, you know? You got to think through things. Go to Romans 6, 6 through 11. And this is where God tells us. It's not feelings. You don't feel spiritual things, usually. I mean, when you're thinking about it, your feelings might respond to that. But you might, you know, when you're being tempted, and especially if you don't know about the two natures, you feel dirty almost. Why? How could I think that? God doesn't want me to think this, you know, or act like that, or whatever, you know. It's not feelings. It's facts. Your faith needs to be based on facts. You know, people go, Christians are just, they take a leap in the dark. And there are a lot of Christians that ain't thinkers. They don't use what's inside of here, you know. And they just follow whatever the anointed one, the pastor, says, right? And it don't matter. You can show them in the Word of God. I can't deny my experience, brother. And you know what I do? I say, you know what? When what you're depending on ain't working for you no more, come talk to me. I got some things I'll share with you. I'm not going to argue with somebody and, you know, use your time to for somebody who's maybe wanting to grow, wanting to learn. So, what does God say? What shall we say then? Because the first thing, when you share complete forgiveness and the dispensation of grace, what does somebody tell you? Believers. So you're just saying, I could just go kill somebody and I'm still forgiven, right? I'm like, did I say that? Don't you like how they read in, you said it. No, I didn't say that. I said, you want to kill somebody? Oh, you're just not doing it then because you think you'll be punished. So you mean, if you get a hold on this, you're just going to go kill somebody? Yeah. No, never. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Never, 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 never. How shall we that are dead to sin live in any longer? See, that's knowing your identity in Christ. It's knowing you died who you were in Adam. You were buried. That person don't exist no more. You rose in Christ Jesus. You have resurrection life and dwelling your spirit. Imagine the power of that. What it took for Christ to rise when all the world's sins were on Him. Think of the power. See, we're looking at situations and circumstances, right? And the more you look at them, the less your mind can think. And you get this circular thinking. And you keep thinking the same thing over. Instead of bringing it to God, you're realizing how great He is. And then things get like this. Back to that. What they say, you make a mountain out of a molehill. Yeah, there's problems. But we got a God who's greater. And a God that's concerned about everything you go through. He's a personal God. He's not Allah. That you got to appease and He's far away. You can't have a relationship. They say He's merciful. Well, if you go by their teaching, you got to do all these things to appease Him. So here's God. But know ye not. I'm sorry. How shall, in verse 2, we that are dead to sin living any longer. See, when you realize who you are, a child of God, a new creation, right? You don't want them old things anymore. Because God has done something so wonderful in you. He produced His Spirit. Remember earlier I asked where it says, they tell you, you need to love more, you need to do this. It's not the fruit of your spirit. Love is the fruit of God's Spirit. He has to produce it. See, controlling our flesh, every aspect of the believer's life and the dispensation of grace is produced by Christ through His Spirit. When we're walking in the Spirit, we need to be filled with the Spirit. And what's that idea? Be filled. It's a continual. It's not He takes over your facilities. God works within our will. But you just think of, I try and like, ask God, show me, God, that strength of Christ in me. Because, man, I think some people get a hold on that. I think like Pastor Stan. I think of Moody. Some of the, you know, he might not know how to really rightly divide the word, but some things he got a hold on, and what, how far God could use them. I mean, you know, people that are dead, Stan's books are still blessing people. You know, things that differ. You know, I haven't lately. I didn't have a lot of money, but usually I buy a whole case of them and I give them out. You know, some people in the jail, in the library, they got them, or they'll get a hold of it. His ministry is still, you know, you just thank God for people like that. Know ye not. See, you got to know something, right? That so many of us as we're baptized, and that idea is not water, it's a spiritual baptism. The idea is placed into, or identified with, or united. If you look down to verse 5, it talks about planted. And if you go to Greek, it can mean that, or it could be united. You think of one, right? United in marriage. Know ye not, as many as us were baptized or placed into, identified with Christ. Jesus. We're baptized into his death. See, God, the moment when you trusted in Christ, God took you and placed you in his death. He didn't have no sin to die for himself, did he? You see, you say, "Well, I know this stuff." Oh, really? We need to be reminded. You know, that's why you need to be in a grace church. Because if you go to a legalistic church, it's going to affect your mind. One of my very good friends, I didn't see him in years, and he understood right division. And he started going to all these different evangelical churches, you know. Some were legalistic, some were better than others. But when I heard him preach, I heard him saying, "We're a kingdom of priests." I'm like, you know, what's his name? He's through Red Fox. How's it coming? I couldn't believe it. But see, he was under a mixture of programs teaching, which is out there. Now it's wonderful when God uses it. Now he's seeing it again. He goes, "I don't know why I didn't see this before." I said, "You did." But see, if truth sets you free, keep taking in truth, it pushes out error. But sometimes there's these layers of error, and the Holy Spirit's got to get through it, you know. But what's the opposite of that? If truth sets you free, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free, right? Then error will put you in bondage. That's why you want to be under accurate teaching. So you were placed or baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him by what? Identification or baptism. We were placed into that, just like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Now that word life there, that's why I said, you go to the Greek and you get, it's not, you know, in the Greek you have different, they might have four words for one word, like love. You know, in the Greek you got agape, you got phileo, you got storge and eros. That's four. We just say, "I love my shoes, I love my wife," you know. Love your earrings, you know. But in the Greek, it's more expressive, the language. Now, that word in the Greek here means zoe. It's not we change our life, because that's what religion teaches you, right? Oh, I used to go party in the streets. Now I go to the, we evangelize on the streets, you know. Or, you know, it's a change of, that's bios, my behavior, biography, you get that word. Agape is the same life that God has, it's spiritual life. That's what we walk in today. Christ in us, right? I can do all things through what?
Christ.
You believe that? Yeah. And how can you do that? Because you resurrected with him. He's in you, you're in him. We're one. Forever. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. We're seated with them in the heavenlies, aren't we? God sees it. Why? Because he's the head, we're the body, we're one. We are so blessed. We should be that most joyous people in the world. And we are when we're focused. And thanking God for his grace. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, what? You got to know some. That our old man is crucified with him. And in the Greek there, you'll have different translations. Here it says is. Some will say was. It's just like in Ephesians. We have been saved by grace. Some will say have been or are. Because it's in the perfect tense in the Greek. It's something that happened once with continuing results. So know this. Old man is crucified with him. What about that old man? Did that mean it ain't there no more? It's just who you and Adam ain't there no more. But there's still a clinging in our bodies. This I heard somebody say it's a twisted gene, if you want. It's that spiritual, I don't know how would I say it, something in us that rebels. That's in our flesh still. And I look so forward to the rapture where we don't have them. But You will glorify God more now than for all eternity when you learn to walk in the Spirit now. Because it's God in you, working in you, doing it. And when the angels, the demons, when the world, they see a believer walking in the Spirit with joy and love, it brings God glory. Our lives bring God glory. It magnifies Him. It shows people it ain't just a churchy religion. There's a vibrant life of Christ in us. And that draws them. And then they'll probably ask you a question a lot of times. But it ain't just our testimony. You know, people go, well, if you live a certain way, you're going to win people to the Lord. Christ lived perfect, didn't He? How many people came to God through Him? You got to be, like I said, you have to think things through. Yet some people who are just fed up with this world, and they know things ain't working, there's something wrong. Not just in what they're doing. Bob George says, there was something wrong with me. And his heart was ready to, because he had the money. He said he had his big Cadillac Eldorado and he had the swimming pool hobnobbing with the Hollywood crowd. And he said, but he was empty. And he thought if he could make another million, he'll be happy. Well, when he made another million, what do you think then? If I could make two. He was making $8 million a year. And then he went and seen his dad. His dad was a lawyer, a very intelligent man. And he got some with a stroke. And he says, Bob, I work so I could eat steak whenever I want. I can't even eat it now. So he left there. He's on a plane. And it went over his warehouse. He was in a carpeting business. Great salesman. And he looked how little it was from the air. Because he thought it was this big old thing. And then he's like, what's life about? Wake up, make money so you can buy things. Go to sleep, wake up so you can make more money so you can buy things. And see, he was ready. Because he realized something was wrong with him inwardly, that emptiness. And then someone was walking in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit just directed them to Him. And I thank God for him. I learned so much through his ministry. So knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now it didn't say it's gone, right? It just broke its power. The idea is made inactive, ineffective, inoperative. So by the cross, God made a way, because He didn't just save us, forgive us, and just go on your way and live the Christian life. He made a way that we don't have to be under that power. The idea is, I've used it before, but maybe somebody ain't heard it. Hey, the pastor uses the same old jokes all the time. So. When you're in the army, what do they tell you? As soon as you get off the bus, you're mine. I'm your mama, I'm your, that sergeant would tell you, right? I'm your mama, I'm your daddy. If I tell you to give me 50 push-ups, you're going to give me 50 push-ups, right? And you better do it, too. If I tell you to scrub the floor in the bathroom with the toothbrush, you're going to do it. So you get trained, right, to just obey your sergeant, right? Well, you get out the service. Now, when you're in the service, he says, give me 100, right? What do you do? Jump there, right? Start running. Give me 5 miles, right? Now you get out the service. You're no longer under the authority of that sergeant, are you? You're freed. But what if he comes up and out of habit, you're so used to doing it, he says, give me 50. What do? You get out and but then you start thinking, wait a minute. Look at dude, you need to take that drag down the street. You ain't got no authority over me anymore. That's the flesh. See? He had authority. Satan worked through the flesh. We're in his kingdom. But we got out of there. Praise God. He took us out of the kingdom of darkness. Placed us what? Into the kingdom of light. In the kingdom of his dear son, right? We're no longer under his authority. He worked through the flesh. We're no longer in the flesh. The flesh is in us, but we're not in Adam. Christ is in us now. We have a new commanding officer. And that old one will destroy your life and hurt you. Christ came to give you life, and what? Life to the full. We ain't talking about money and even health and whatever. It's talking about a full spiritual life. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
All by grace.
Amen.
See, He's equipped us to live a victorious life. I don't know if you're convicted. I'm convicted right now because I don't always walk in the Spirit. And if we're all honest, we know you don't either. You know, like what was his name? I think Vernon McGee. He came to preach. He could never preach at the Berean Bible Conference because he didn't have a suit on. He had a flowered shirt, and he. See, we have a little legalism. To me, a little legalism, and sometimes gray circles too. Anyway, he goes up there to preach. So you can imagine some of, especially legalists. You know, he's in this bright Hawaiian shirt, and he goes, you know, if I had a bulb bubble in my head and you could see my thoughts, you wouldn't want me to preach to you. He goes, well, wait a minute. If I could see in the ears, I wouldn't want to preach to you. See, to me, grace allows you to be honest. Not to try and act like we're these strong, super Christians, you know, so we can share each other's burdens. And when I'm real, you realize, oh, he struggles in that too. See? Too much fakery and, you know, fake it till you make it type teaching today. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. So what? It's been broke. It's power over us. Now, does that mean you're not going to feel temptations? No, because there's the struggle. The spirit against flesh, right? But this is where you got to reckon. God told you what He did. He didn't say if you feel like you died to sin, say no. You know? We're used to feelings, ain't we? When you get hungry, what do? Feel hungry, you eat, right? A lot has to do with our will. God working through our will, you know. People go, you know, I can't help myself. Oh, really? You're a believer? Yeah. Oh, you don't believe I can do all things through, you can do all things through Christ? Oh, yeah. Well, I can't do that. I'm like, let's think this one out, you know. But God says, this happened. We count it, reckon it, calculate it in your mind. Start thinking about what happened. Now, we're freed from sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Verse 7. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Knowing that, see, you got to know. Again, growth is what? Knowing, verse 6 and 8. Reckoning, verse 4 and 11. And then presenting, chapter 12. Presenting your body as a living sacrifice. That's growth, and it takes time. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, he dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Christ ain't going to die again. People ask him for more forgiveness without shedding the blood. There's what? No forgiveness. And he died to sin once for all. He died for our sins once for all. He's not going to die again. So we either accept he did it all or believe the old lie that's been in the church that most, I'll stretch it, 90%. Please, you got to get forgiven over and over. They brought Israel's program of sacrifice except without blood. And then you have a denomination that says what? A bloodless sacrifice, right? Where we're the body of Christ, and they're trying to say, here, body of Christ. You know, a lot of times I'm nice, you know. I'll just say no thank you. But, you know, I have to watch my mouth because I want to go, I am part of, but Christ is in me. And I have done that too, but I try and do it like in a nice way. You know, it's people don't believe this word. They're believing traditions of man, the wiles of Satan. He's so subtle. That's why we need to know this, right? For in that he died unto sin. How many times? Once. And that he liveth unto God. Likewise. What's that mean? Like in the same way? Right? Reckon. Count. Count it to be true. Why? Because God said it. Ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust thereof. So, why would Paul write that if Christians can't sin? Right? Because you can. So he's got to tell us and remind us. We can, but we shouldn't. Neither yield, and the idea here is offer or present your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield or present yourself unto God as those who are what? Alive. You're alive in Christ. From the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. So, what happens when you get tempted? We have a choice. I can just give in, or I can say, nope, that's not me. And I present myself to God. I get my focus off the sin, the temptation, and it's on God. But our problem is we like to play. You know, the sin nature is very entertaining, isn't it? Remember Abraham, God told them to get rid of the slave woman and her son? See, the idea is the law there. So get yourself out from under legalism, but get rid of the son too. I think the son has the idea of the flesh. See, he was produced by the flesh, wasn't he? Not Isaac was produced. He was the promise, right? But, you know, don't you think it was kind of hard for Abraham? Because don't you think that son entertained them? I just saw somebody on Facebook where they were saying they had their granddaughter, and they says, you wouldn't believe how one little person can just make your day so wonderful, you know? I guess she's a good girl. Some of us like, you ready to come take them home? So, you know, the sin nature is entertaining. You know, or it wouldn't be no temptations, right? Sin, there's pleasure for a moment. But it always brings destruction. That's why I always say, we don't have to be afraid of God punishing us. He punished Christ. But we should have a fear of allowing sin in our lives. Because it will bring corruption. It will hurt us. And the crazy thing is, we don't have to. You know, it's like somebody opens the door. Somebody's going to be in prison for life, right? And somebody comes, opens the door, and said they had reopened your case, and you didn't do it. You're justified. You're right. You can leave. And they go, no, shut the door. It's crazy. Right? But that's what we do when we give in to the sin nature. Time, huh, Dave? All these verses I still got. So these verses, they didn't say we feel ourselves as dead, right? But to reckon or count upon that to be true, to reckon it as an accomplished fact. That we die with Christ, who we were in Adam, and also we died to the law. If you see in Romans chapter 6, people think they're going to deal with the sin nature by bringing a law in. Isn't that what the whole book of Galatians, Paul's having to correct? They were saved, people. They were running, man. They were on fire for the Lord, I think. And you get, you know, that person who comes in, very commanding, you know, and starts saying, oh, no. Yeah, you're saved by trusting in Jesus, but you need the law. You need circumcision. You say, well, nobody teaches that today. Oh, they teach law. Well, you know what they say? You need to get baptized. Replace circumcision. And that's taught. You need to speak in tongues. You need to start barking like a dog and clucking like a chicken and shaking. That's the third wave movement. You need that. And Christians who are really want to serve God, they're being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And we got the answer. I've been praying, God, just, you know, a lot of the people in the grace movement are getting older. And us who are younger, you know, compared to them, I'm young. Us who are younger, and especially younger people, need to take a hold of this torch and shine it in our lives, walk it, so they see it, and then open our mouths and quit worrying that they're going to think we're hyper-dispensationalists. They're going to make fun of me. They're not going to be my friend anymore. Okay? I pray for that, God. Give me that, like in the Old Testament, the one prophet says, his word was a fire in my bones. You know? Give us that. And I've been praying for revival. Revival is not to the outside. Revival is in people's hearts. When Israel, they got their back into the Word of God and Nehemiah, when they gave the sense of the Word, the people rejoiced that somebody was teaching it accurately, and it brings joy, you know. So I'm going to close right on time. But just remember, you have the sinful nature, but don't look at the problem, look at the solution. You have assets, Christ in you. So we can live victorious, can't we? And didn't you need that this morning? Didn't you go through some stuff this week? You know, praise God for His Word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You, Lord, that for You giving us a total victory program through the death, burial, and the resurrection. And You share it with us through the mystery that was kept secret, hid in Your heart, God. You didn't reveal it, and Satan was taken in his own, he thought, wisdom, corrupted wisdom. And he actually pulled out Your plan, God. You're so wise. Lord, teach us to trust You more, to realize You know everything we don't, and how much we need You, Lord. We thank You for the times, Lord, and it's every day, I think, when we don't focus on You, Lord, or we allow that sin nature to get a hold of us, and that You still, Your Holy Spirit, because You dealt with sin once for all, He doesn't leave us. But He's the one who pulls us out of that. And thank You for giving us godly desires through our new nature, God. I pray if there's one father who's, they've been listening to this, but they said, well, I've never had no struggle. I'm religious. That they would realize maybe there's no new nature. That there's not a struggle. Because Your Word tells us, we see in Romans 7, what I don't want to do, I do. What I want to do, I don't do. And that's a person under legalism. And Your only answer was, praise be to God through Jesus Christ. He's the answer to every problem we face. And thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name.